This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I love the holidays, baby. I want to wish all my people all the best of luck. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. Come back here. Oh, boy, you got some good sugar, baby. You know how that reindeer's milk I gave you last week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby, I drink reindeer milk every day. The highest of all protein is reindeer milk, you know. Oh, Bobby, you didn't have to give me a Christmas present.
No, that's not yours, Jimmy.
That's Bobby got me a Christmas present. Oh, Bobby.
No, hey, Jim. Well, Jim, that's not yours.
Look what this is right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, a Christmas present. Oh, boy. Oh, look at that.
Jim, no, you shouldn't.
Is a face only a mother could love. Bobby, give me a pin. You got a pin? Give me a pin.
Jimmy.
What would he look like when it goes to God, huh? You know, I seen a face like this one time working the streets of the corner of New York City, and he had a little monkey on his back, and he grinded a little organ, and he had a mustache just like... Oh, he needs something else. You know, he's fine as a bat, brother.
Yeah. You have ruined that. That was...
Do you think he smokes?
That was Paul.
Do you think he smokes? How about a big white owl right here, huh? You know, this tuxedo looks like to me. I seen a coat hanging just like in Kmart just the other day. K. How you spell Kmart?
M-A-R-T.
M-A-R-T.
Yeah. Jim.
All right. How about that now? You know something, people? I got one more surprise for you. I got people coming in. Big time people, brother. And I've got something for Paul Jones. Just like I promised you. Paul Jones, assassins. Look out, daddy. Woo, feel good.
All right, fans. Jimmy Valiant. We'll be back right after this message.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode number 31 of NWA Crock and Roll. I am your host, Sean Kidd, as always, and welcome to what I'm calling our Christmas episode. So we're taking a little bit of a pause. The last two episodes, we did two super shows in February. We did Superstars on the Superstation, and we did Battle of the Belts. So my thought was we would do our Christmas episode, since this one drops before Christmas, and then we'll close out the year on the episode that actually drops on New Year's Eve. We'll do February to close the year out, so we can start January fresh. So before we get started, I would like to introduce my two co-hosts, yes, two. So yet another month where we are missing a person. So this will be now three months in a row of this pod where we have not had a full crew. I don't really know who to blame, but our first co-host tonight, he was attacked by the PTVN main event crew and put in a steel toe boot. But he has arrived tonight, but he is on his phone, so I assume the main event might have taken out his computer as well. Dr. G, how are you tonight?
Doing well. You know, it's been a crazy couple of months, but happy to be back and be able to talk about stuff and kind of get away from the real world for a little while. And wow, things are heating up in Crockett. But I know we got a little special, you know, for Christmas, which was nice, a little break just to kind of, you know, watch some of the guys who we've been watching over the last, you know, what have we been doing this, about a year and a half now. So.
Yeah, about a year and a half. So, yeah, so just before we go to our next co-host, basically what we're doing tonight is we're going to watch seven matches. And what I found was seven matches from shows that took place on Christmas Day over the years. So I think we span from 82 to 87 tonight. And these are all super shows that were presented on Christmas Day of the cards they were on. And so I thought it'd be good to go back and watch it. And the good news is every match we're watching tonight has someone from Crockett that we've been watching, we've been talking about. And so I thought it'd be cool. Let's see what some of the Crockett guys were doing on Christmas over 82 to 85 that I found online. So kind of a cool little break. And all we got to do is talk about seven matches. I thought that'd be a cool thing to do. So with that, Dr. G, welcome back. And then our other co-host who has been on every episode since we started this new Four Horsemen thing, Scott Shiflett, how are you tonight?
Sean, I'm glad to be here. Dr. G, welcome back. You know, I'm starting to feel like you guys really are treating me like the Roma right now with, you know, I know you guys got stuff going on, but Callum, where are you at, buddy? I miss you, man.
So Callum's not on tonight. And I was going to say Callum was a victim of a yet another main event attack from the PTBM main event. The main event crew is very intimidated by Crock and Roll, and they want our six-man tag team belts. And
they
since
are.
We haven't,
but
since
then
we
I
haven't,
get them.
Yeah, but since we have an extra person now, they think they could take people out and individuals out because we aren't technically six men anymore. We're four men. But maybe one day we'll get to a pod where we can do all four again. But for now, we're a three-man team again for this month. So with that, guys, are you ready to jump right into it?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. So like I said, what we're doing tonight is we're watching seven matches that took place on Christmas Day from their individual territories or whatever that span from 82 to 85. So our first matchup tonight, relatively famous match. It is a cage match from 12/25/1982 from World Class Wrestling. Steel cage, no DQ. It is Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair for the World Heavyweight title. And this is probably a really famous match that most people have heard about, where Michael Hayes is a special referee. And it kind of kicks off this whole Freebird Von Erich feud that ran for a span of years. So, Dr. G, I know you, like me, watched wrestling growing up. And we're going to talk about the match in a minute, but I feel like if I recall, this was the match that kind of set that feud on fire for World Class. Am I correct?
It did.
Okay. So cool. So we're going to jump right into it. So it opens up with interviews. Kerry's excited. That's about all he says. Kerry Von Erich is not a very good interview. Never has been. Ric Flair, says diamonds are forever. He calls Fritz an old man. Says no, it'll be a no DQ cage match. Bill Mercer is on commentary. We have two refs, and one is Michael Hayes. The other one is, I'll talk about who he is in a minute because that'll see. In my notes. But anyway, Kerry is freshly back from knee surgery, and I kind of had to help myself back from making a joke about a foot or a knee here, Scott, but I figured you probably wouldn't anyway. That
see,
sounds like something you would do.
Yeah, 100%. I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember if it was 82 or like 83 when he lost, you know, half. He came a little nubby there, but I will say, like, I before we get into the match, like, I wrote, like, Kerry's promo sucks, and then, like, when they showed Michael Hayes, I was like, oh, this is the match, because I'd heard of this match, obviously, because it's big in wrestling history, because, like you guys said, it lit WCCW on fire with the Freebirds versus the Von Erich boys, but also, like, you know, the cage looks like a dog kennel cage. Like, we had Rottweilers growing up, and we had cages for them. That's what the cage looked like. And me and my brothers would have, like, steel cage matches in the cage. That's what that cage looked like, Sean. It was not a great steel cage, but I got past that immediately because, spoiler alert, this match is amazing.
All right. So, yeah, so let's jump into it. So, like I said, Michael Hayes is a special ref. Looks like a referee, too. He's got his meat hanging out with no shirt on and jeans. Looking very beefy, by the way. They keep calling on announcing. They keep calling Kerry the uncrowned champion. So if I were Ric Flair, that would piss me off because commentary refers to him as uncrowned champion. They announce him as the uncrowned champion.
But Sean, like,
yeah.
I like that nickname. That's a hell of a nickname.
No,
that,
I like it, but when you think about it's, if I'm Ric Flair and I'm coming to the territory to defend a world title, you know, they keep calling me the uncrowned champion. It's kind of, I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool, but if I were Ric Flair as world champion, I'd probably be pretty pissed off. That's just me, personally. So then Hayes brings out Terry Gordy to make sure no one gets out of the cage. They call him the Gatekeeper 101. The odds are really stacked against Flair. They bring up Kerry, his journey, including his matches against Flair, Harley. And Mercer on commentary is really gushing over Kerry's greatness. Like, they go out of their way, and I guess part of the reason they do that is World Class is Kerry is the guy for World Class, so they really go out of the way to gush over him. Kerry does some legwork early on as Flair screams. Kerry has a nice arm reversal and dropkick to Flair with stiff punches and shots between the two. The other ref is David Manning, who looks a lot like the guy from Boogie Nights, who wears that robe in Boogie Nights, by the way. Both refs push Flair off the ropes, which I didn't really understand the logic in that because it's a no DQ cage match, so I'm not real sure why they keep pushing them off the ropes and everything when they clearly are allowed to. Kerry gets a sleeper. It's reversed by a nice Flair back suplex. Kerry gets a knee drop off the top rope, and Flair sells it like a madman. Flair dominates a while with more knees, chops, and elbows. Kerry reverses an abdominal stretch. Flair goes headfirst into the cage several times, and Kerry does the old cheese grater effect on it, which looks really good, and Flair starts bleeding. Flair starts working the leg, and it gets really tiresome and cumbersome, the rest with the rope bullshit. Hayes keeps pushing him off, Kerry keeps kicking out of the figure four attempts. Flair finally clamps it in. The crowd is absolutely deafening. Kerry reverses out of the figure four and works Flair's leg over. We do get a butt shot of Flair being pulled back in the cage, which I don't think any of us needed to see on Christmas Day at all. We get to a point now where Kerry won't pin Flair because he feels it's cheap. Hayes pushes Kerry and goes to walk out of the cage, but Kerry goes after him. Flair does a knee to the back, and Kerry bumps Hayes out of the cage. Kerry then does a savage slam of the door to Kerry's face, which is a very famous moment of time, which really starts everything. He counts three, even though Kerry gets out of two. Manning again over, and Manning throws Hayes out. Manning calls no fall, and the match continues. Flair gets in control as Kerry reels from the cage door shot. Kerry keeps fighting back. There's a discus punch, but Kerry is just so out of it. Manning looks at Kerry's eyes, and Manning stops the match and declares Flair the winner. The brothers then come to help their brother. This is really good storytelling, I thought. I thought the last 10 minutes were absolutely great. And, yeah, this was definitely a historic match that most of us know about, and I think it's very worthy of that. I went 3.5 stars on this match. I really, really enjoyed it. Dr. G, I'll go to you first.
I went 3.25 stars on this one.
Okay.
Because, you know, this is something, I mean, this is legendary. This is where World Class was at its best from like 82 to maybe like 86, maybe a little beginning of 87. This was their high points because this drew a lot of money after this with the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. Mm-hmm. And the psychology in it. I mean, you could tell that Michael Hayes's, you know, handprints were on this, and shot with the door on Kerry's head was phenomenal. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I know he obviously got banged up a little bit. Going back to Kerry's actually injury where he was amputated, I think was 86. Yes. So, but yeah, Kerry, going back to what Scott was saying, Kerry's interviews are horrible. Like, I don't get it, but the crowd is so hot for them. I mean, the crowd's almost deafening at times. I mean, these guys, the Von Erichs were over like Hogan, you know, mm-hmm. in the WWE at the time. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, they really, really put over the Von Erich kids, you know, uncrowned champion. I noticed that too, Sean. I was like, okay, enough now already. Let's just get to the match. But I will say this, I thought, you know, Flair's Flair. I mean, very rarely, unless he really has a horrible opponent, is he going to get anything below 3 stars. So I was almost close to 4 stars, but I said, you know, the beginning of the match was a little slow, but that last 10 minutes, oof, you can't beat. That was great 10 minutes.
I'm with you. I thought the beginning was a little slow, but then, and again, I kept getting annoyed with the whole rope DQ, like the whole pulling him off the rope in a cage at an ODQ, that was very, very annoying. I actually probably wouldn't have gone four if it weren't for all that crap. But yeah, that was very annoying. Scott, what did you think of this match? Or Gene, sorry, you were going to say something else.
No, I just was going to say that I agree with you on that. And the thing is you ever notice that sometimes, I think sometimes with gimmick matches, I think sometimes either the refs forget or I don't know why they book things like that. If it's no disqualification, let it be no disqualification. Why are we putting rules in there? I mean, I don't know if it's booked that way or if it's just the refs forget what the actual stipulation is.
I think it was booked this way for this one because they had to build to the thing with Kerry and the ropes. I think on this one it was done on purpose. For this match. Yeah. So, all right. So, Dr. G went 3.25. I'm 3.5. Scott, what did you think?
Well, surprisingly, I'm the high man here. I went 3.75. Mm. I really enjoyed this match. Yeah, it was a little slow at first. It felt like they were, seeing if they could find any weaknesses with each other. But I don't know. I just loved, and Michael Hayes was getting in both Flair and Kerry's face, which I think was great because it was showing that he was being, impartial. He was calling it 50-50. He was getting on each other, which I thought was good, and it plays into the ending. And I loved how Kerry was, grating Flair's face against the cage. I love that in a cage. And you see, Flair, is a bloody mess. And I will say that, the whole Kerry thing was, with this. And Flair did it perfectly because Hayes, in his mind, thinks Kerry attacked him on the way out of the door. And Terry Gordy just slammed that cage and just killed him. That's the problem I have with, I think the match should have ended there with them slamming the door. I did not like that it went 3 to 5 minutes afterwards. So I actually had it 4 until that because I felt Kerry's supposedly out of it, but was able to hit a discus punch and kick out. And then they do it and then their brothers run in. It's where the hell were they at? And I will also say I looked up this, what happened. This is when they, the Freebirds with David won the 6-man title, this thing. So they booked this phenomenally with, the Freebirds Buddy Roberts isn't here. David, can you fill in? Because it's been, mm-hmm. set up that it was David's friends were the Freebirds. He brought them in. Then they did this turn and it lit the, Dr. G said, the promotion on fire. And I looked to see if David had any big matches with him, but sadly he passes away not too long after. He passed away in February or March of 83. So he only had a handful of matches against these guys. It would have been amazing to see David truly stuck in the middle between his family and his friends with the feud. But sadly, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. So, so really historic match here. Sets up the great feud. It's a great title match. I think we all have our own issues with, it's just very hard to understand the logic of some of the stuff they did in this match. And I think I'll agree with you on the Terry thing. I do like the fact that Terry couldn't continue, and I thought that was kind of cool. But I think you're right. They should have just slammed a cage in his face, ended the match there, and Flair just kind of pin him and get the – I mean, what's the harm in Flair getting the pin at that point, right? You agree? Right? So anyway.
Yeah. Like it made zero sense. It's Kerry's Super Cena circa 2012 right here. If he's able to, get pile driven on the floor, then bounce back in and beat Nexus by himself. That's what it felt a little bit.
But overall, a strong opener for all of us. So I think we'll agree. Go out of your way. It's a historic match for many levels. And we'll go to match number two. So our next match is a year later. It is also from the Star Wars Super Show on 12/25/83. It's also for the World Heavyweight title. We have Ric Flair taking on none other than David Von Erich. I am very curious to see what you guys think about this match because I have my things that I'll say about it. So Flair comes out to Star Wars theme, which is amazing. I love watching all these old shows as Flair comes out to all this different music. If you remember, Scott, on Battle of the Belts, he came out to Easy Lover, and tonight he comes out to the Star Wars theme, which is fantastic. David also comes out to it because obviously the show is Star Wars. And I think my first note was nothing says Star Wars like a man in cowboy gear. Because I know when I think Star Wars, I think David Von Erich. But anyway, David is announced as a very worthy challenger. So sell it really good. Bronco Lubitsch always looks 90 years old. Bronco Lubitsch has been a ref for 80 years, and he always looks 90 years old. And every year, it's kind of like Arn Anderson never ages. Bronco Lubitsch always looks old. David apparently had won this shot in a pole match, whatever that means. And then David makes the sign that he's going to break Flair's leg. So we'll jump right into it. David gets a headlock and some false pins, which is literally the first set 10 minutes is that's really all that happened. Then David throws a shoulder into the corner, then an armbar. Flair tries to chop him out, but David Von Erich, who, by the way, is very tall, holds his arm still, and then we get pretty much another 15 minutes of pretty much all headlocks and an armbar. Very, very boring. Flair finally gets control with chops and knees and goes for a headlock, but no, it's reversed into a hammerlock, which is another 5 minutes. Flair finally tosses David outside on a David charge, and oh, then we have another chin lock. Then we have another Von Erich abdominal stretch. We have a punch off. Flair thrown to the corner upside down. We get a Von Erich suplex. Flair does a nice modified death lock on the leg. Kerry comes to ringside and distracts his brother, which was very confusing to me. I had no idea what he was really doing. David comes back in to get a two on a small package, but then Flair throws him outside. David is thrown into a ring post. Then he's turnbuckle over and over again. Kerry is taunted by Flair, and Flair punches him off apron and kicks his injured leg since he just had knee surgery. David hits Flair in the leg with the world title and uses Kerry crutch, and we have a DQ. And then David slams Flair's leg to post repeatedly to end. I have no idea what was going on in this match. I don't know why Kerry came out to distract his brother. This was just I thought this match was extremely boring. I struggled to give it the gentleman's 1.5 stars. I will go to you first, Scott.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be the low man in list, but I went 1.25 stars. It was boring as shit. Like, rest spot. Headlock, like you said. Like, I literally just have notes. It's like, headlock for 5 minutes. And another one's like, why is Kerry out here?
Yes.
And And you know what I'd always heard was that David was going to be like the true wrestler of the Von Erich family. That is not the case because I know there was a cage match and this is a normal match, but damn, like we've seen some Kerry and he hasn't been that bad. This was like really bad. I don't know if like they are both like David was like screwed up or something on drugs, but it was just bad.
Yep. So you went 1.25, Dr. G, where'd you go?
Here's a time where I think Flair was not 3 stars, and that's because of the opponent. And I never got David Von Erich. I'm glad we've actually gotten to talk to this. I heard, David Von Erich's the one that's the best of all of them. Maybe over in Japan. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to go watch some of that stuff. I don't get it. I don't get it with David Von Erich. Now, Kerry can't talk, but he could go in the ring. He could put a decent match on, but Not David. I was bored. I have to be honest. This match was boring.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you go on?
I gave a star and a half because Flair. I mean, Flair saved it. Otherwise, it probably would have been a dud, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, I agree with both of you. I don't think I've watched many David Von Erich matches, but if this, like against Flair, I would think he'd be at his peak. And yeah, man, he was bad. So I feel bad saying that. It's kind of like, you know, on this show, we kind of go against conventional wisdom. Like, we don't really like Jimmy Valiant. We don't like Wahoo. He gets on our nerves. We talk about Gordon Sully as a commentator, and here we are. You're supposed to love David Von Erich, but it sounds like the three of us are all on the same page with David Von Erich here, G.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get it. I can't. I mean, and you talk to any wrestling historian, they were like, David was going to be the next NWA world champion. He's going to be a star. Am I missing something? I don't know.
Yeah, I did not see this match.
Yeah, I don't. And he's awkward, too. Like, he almost looks like a version of Andre the Giant, except he's a Von Erich. He's a very tall, lumbering, awkward-looking man. And I maybe that's
me. He is. I mean, Kerry definitely had the best look of the Von Erichs. And, again, just couldn't really talk. But at least he could – I would say Kerry was a decent hand in the ring. I wouldn't say he was, you know – I thought better than David. I mean, Kevin's pretty good too, but again, he didn't have the charisma that Kerry had. Kerry just had that look, and you know, the girls loved him. And yeah, you know, I mean, when you hear him come to the crowd, that's all you hear is shrieks constantly. Mm-hmm. It's like, David just didn't do it for me in this match. Ric Flair saved it as usual.
Yep. So the David Von Erich will remain a mystery. I don't know how many more David Von Erich matches we'll watch on this show. I think this is probably the first one we have watched, but we'll see. But yeah, if that's our first impression, David Von Erich, not very impressive to us. So we'll go to our third match. This is also on the same night of this match that we just talked about, except we're going to the AWA Christmas show. And we are going to talk about God forgive me for this, guys. I apologize, but you got to be fair. We are going to talk about Billy Graham, superstar Billy Graham versus Rick Martel. Rod Trongard is on commentary. Billy Graham is already in his karate gimmick. Again, this is 12-25-83. They call him the master of Taekwondo, which I found very amusing. And this is a must-win match for Rick Martel as he wants a world title shot. So they do a test of strength that Trongard calls a knuckle lock. Graham looks really bad here. He looks. I wrote that he looks cancerous because he looks really deflated and old and looks really bad. There's a five-minute test of strength. Then we go right to a Graham bear hug. Martel gets a two on a sunset flip. There's atomic drop, a drop kick, a punch to gut, a body slam. There's Taekwondo to the throat, which I thought was very funny. Rick's tossed over outside, and there's a DQ. Graham throws chairs at Martel. Martel retrieves it, and Graham retreats to the back. Holy shit. This was pure garbage. It was 8 minutes long. And Graham continues to stink up everything that we watch him in. This is a big, fat, huge dud for me. And I will go to Dr. G first.
Same. Wow. You know, superstar Billy Graham, think about it. This guy's still going today, and he's been sick on and off since around this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. I mean, somebody wants him here. I mean, because this guy's gone through everything. He's had livers, hearts, this, that. I'm like, I don't know how the guy's still, he's like taped together. And he couldn't go at this time. I mean, I know he was in Florida, I guess like 83, maybe. Yeah, 83, 84 against Billy Jack Haynes. I mean, he was okay at that time, but he was just, have we ever rated him like in a decent match?
I don't think we've ever had more than half a star, maybe a star if we're lucky, but every Billy Graham match we've watched has been horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's actually kind of sad because this is a former WWF champion, and, you know, he definitely had the charisma and the whole thing, but I guess once the bell rang, it was kind of like, all right, we're not really getting much here. And this is the same with this match. I mean, even Rick Martel, who's, you know, really good in the ring, couldn't really do anything with him.
And it's crazy to think that he still has 84 Starrcade, 85 Starrcade, and then he goes to the WWE. I mean, this guy's still got another 3 or 4 years of work left in him, which is unbelievable to think about when you watch him in this. It's just so bad. Scott, I assume that you hated this as much as we did.
Oh, it was so bad. Like, I tried to give it a chance. It just sucked. Like, it felt like this match was like 7 minutes, but it felt like it was 70 minutes. Like, literally, like, I don't think any moves took place. It was just test of strength, bear hug. And I have a note here that says, this match is literally nothing. It died. This is a terrible match, Sean. It's just really bad.
Yep, it is. So, again, guys, you have to be fair. If you got Christmas shows of Crockett Stars, that's the theme, so you got to put it on here. Yep. So, but I also think it continues to tells a story of Billy Graham, who we won't probably see on our pod. In a normal Crockett watch, we won't see him ever again, so we're kind of over that phase. The only time we might see him is if we do a special one-off, but yeah, this is bad. So we're going to go right to our next match, match number 4. This is, again, the AWA Christmas show, except we're fast-forwarding 1 year to 1984, so this takes place Christmas night, 1984. Another person who we just introduced recently on our podcast, Baron Von Raschke, he just came into Crockett. As you remember, we introduced him. He has taken the place of Crusher Khrushchev on the six-mans with the Russians since Crusher's out injured, but we have not physically watched him in a match yet. So I said, oh, we got Baron Von Raschke. So we have Baron Von Raschke versus Steven Regal, who is not the Lord Steven Regal we're thinking of. This is Mr. Electricity. This is for the light. I'm sorry, it's not for the title, but Regal is the light heavyweight champion. We will actually see Steven Regal come up in Crockett over 86, so we'll talk about him more then. But let's talk about the match. So Regal, like I said, is your light heavyweight champion. This is non-title. Regal is giving someone at ringside a bunch of shit. Baron goes out, raises the fan's hand, and then Regal beats him up as he's coming back in to where Trongard acts like it's the worst beating of his life and says, ooh, that hurts, which was really, really lame. Baron takes control, and Trongard says, take that, and grunts. So Trongard is really into the Baron beating the shit out of Regal, which is really just terrible. Regal gets a headlock and some elbows. Regal bails on a backdrop as Trongard says no one has stronger hands than Baron Von Raschke. Baron does some of the worst kicks to the stomach I have ever seen in the history of this show. There's more Regal headlocks and face locks. Baron's up. Turnbuckle shots, gets a claw off the ropes, and Baron wins with a three count. And holy shit, I don't know which one was worse, the last match or this one, but I also went dud on this one. Scott, what did you think?
So I guess me and you have done too many podcasts together, Sean. I legit have a note here that says Baron's up. like you said that, I was like, why does that sound familiar? It's because I wrote that down. I sort of enjoyed this match. Like, Regal enjoyed it. I gave it a half a star. So maybe it's because I watched these two matches back to back, and I was like, there's no way in hell this match is as bad as the Martel Graham match. But I don't know.
Wait,
like,
what did you give this?
Half a star.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, half a star. But, like, I don't know. I love Regal, like, you know, arguing with the fan, and Baron raises his hand. I don't know. It's just dumb to me. I enjoyed it. And then, you know, Baron got the claw, which is so weird.
Well, probably, I think it's the first time that Baron's actually won. Like, in the history of Crockett, we'll see. I don't recall Baron ever winning a match with, like, a somewhat main event guy with the claw. And here, your light heavyweight champion, he wins, which actually surprised me, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, and my man, you know, has Arn Anderson syndrome, where he looks like he's 83 years old, but somehow he looks better when we saw him in AEW a couple of months ago.
Isn't that crazy? He looks better today than he did in 1983. That is a true statement.
But, and I was shocked that Baron was the babyface here. I thought he would have been the heel, but hey, AWA, they love those old guys. So, I don't know. I just, like I said, half a star. I saw it back to back with the Graham and Martel match, and I was like, no way in hell is this bad. So,
man, I don't know, man. I was trying to go back and forth on which one I didn't like more. I guess this one might had a little more wrestling to it, a little more style to it, but they're both bad. But okay, Dr. Z, what did you think about this match?
Yeah, it was a dud. I'm sorry. I don't get Baron Von Raschke. Another guy I've just never got. Again, he looks like he's 80. I think he's only in his 40s here. That's even the scary part of it.
It's insane.
And he just does nothing for me. I like Steven Regal's character, but I don't know. I didn't get what the matchup was about, why you would have the light heavyweight champion wrestling somebody that's, you know, 60 pounds heavier than him. I mean, I know you don't have to, obviously we're just watching matches and we're not really going on storyline, but sometimes you could pick up on, like, you know, a storyline or at least a title match or something like that. But I don't know. I didn't get it at all.
Like,
and
it was like Larry the Axe Hennig not available this night. You had to cough up your light heavyweight champion to, you know, cough him up to Baron Von Raschke, right? It's crazy.
And Ron Trongard is awful. I know he was in WWF for a little while.
Oh, he's so bad. He's really
bad. All their announcers are bad anyway in AWA, but this was just, so yeah, I had to go with that on that. I just thought both matches back to back were just awful. And
yep, I agree. And I'm going to skip over Scott calling this half a star, and I'm just going to call, we've had two duds in a row. Sorry, Scott. That's host privilege. So we have two really bad matches in a row. Let's see if we can rebound on our fifth match of tonight. It is also from 1984 on the same exact night. So back-to-back, we've now had four matches in a row that took place on the same night in different years, but now we're going back to World Class for Star Wars Christmas Night 1984. And it is Fantastics versus the Midnight Express, who we watched a match of theirs over the summertime during our Before We Were Crockett series. And Dr. G, if you recall, we were not a fan of that match because it was a match that took place in two rings and had some goofball named Little John. Do you remember that? Do you remember that match we watched and we all hated it?
Yes, I do remember it. Yeah, that's
so
that one's hard to forget.
So let's see if this one's any better. It is for the America's Tag Team Titles. The Midnight Express, their robes look like they were bought at the Salvation Army. One thing for me about the Midnight Express, they are not flashy. I guess it's kind of irony that they're called Beautiful Bobby and Loverboy Dennis, because they are the polar opposite, and they also dress like they're the polar opposite. It's just, their ring gear is awful. But anyway, Fantastics come out. They look fantastic in red tuxedo jackets. And he tossed candy canes to the fans. So very festive Christmas feel here. Slow start with feeling out process with Rogers setting Eaton to his corner with a drop kick. There's some headlock work between moves by Fulton to Condry, but it was quick. It was quick base, and I thought it was good. It looked really good. And then I like Condry having to go over and get a hug. The heels work over Rogers with good tag work with slams, wrestling moves, and really nice Eaton knee drop and a nice Condry clothesline, which I thought looked really good. They keep taunting Fulton and a lot of heat on Rogers. Like the majority of this match is they beat up Rogers, and there's not really a whole lot that the Fantastics do. There is a point where Cornette gets involved and chokes Rogers with the rackets, which of course is a trope. Rogers gets a double sunset flip both men at the same time that I thought was cool, and then he tags Fulton. Fulton's a ball of fire, quick body press on Eaton for the three that came out of nowhere. Cornette throws a fit. The fit is seen really quick. A long, long heat on Rogers. Fantastics really didn't do a whole lot, so I thought that was kind of shocking. But I did like watching the Midnight Express tag work. They were really quick, really good, real heels. 15-minute long match. I went a gentleman's three on this. I thought it could have been a lot better if the Fantastics had more skin in the game. Dr. G, what did you think of this match?
I went three as well because the crowd was hot again for this match, which I like when you got a hot crowd. It kind of helps a little bit with the match. And the Midnight Express teamwork is phenomenal. And
unbelievable.
I know the Fantastics kind of played that rock and roll, you know, like the heels beating up the faces and, you know, the face in peril. What is he going to do? And but I think I would have liked to have seen a little bit more offense from the Fantastics. Yeah. So I agree with you. Otherwise, I think this match could have been rated higher. In regards to their ring gear, it definitely got better as they went to Crockett, and especially even when Stan Lane joined the group. But at this time, yeah, it looks like they went to like Goodwill or something and took a few things off the shelf and said, all right, let's go to the ring. Jim Cornette is just phenomenal at this time. He really is. You just want to pound the hell out of him.
He really does his job well. I was going to say, Mama Cornette must not have a lot of money yet since we have the Midnight Express wearing the hand-me-downs from the Salvation Army. So, but yeah, much better match than the one we watched over the summer. But again, not the fantastic Midnight Express that I would expect from the team, which we'll probably get to when we get to 1988 when Fantastic finally come to Crockett. That's where it really heats up. But gentlemen, three for me, 3 stars for Dr. G. Scott, what did you go on this match?
I'm the high man tonight on these. I went 3.5.
Really?
I don't know. Wow. I really enjoyed this match. I don't know. Rogers just seemed like he was a great babyface in peril. I'd seen some Fantastics stuff here and there, but I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Midnight Express, you know, was just great as the dastardly heels. And then they got the hot tag to Fulton and he ran wild. I just couldn't get enough. I want to see more of this. I know we'll probably get to 1988 Crockett in like 2023, but I can't wait to get there.
You never know. We might find a random Midnight Express. Listen, we do these random pods and feed episodes. You never know. We might get another one of these before we get to 88. We'll see. But the two that I've watched so far is not the fantastic Midnight Express that I'm used to. So I'm hoping there's another one out there before they get to 88, but we'll see. But still a very fine tag match. And what I think it does for me is it really shows how good of a tag team the Midnight Express is, but it also undersells the Fantastics a little bit. So I think that's for me, the Midnight Express made this match instead of Cornette. So, all right, we'll go to our sixth match. We got 2 matches left. Same card, Star Wars 1984. Yet Christmas night, another Flair versus Kerry world title match. So, you know, we're 2 years from our first match and this is still going strong. So we start with another Kerry interview. He's the America's champion. He says everyone is electric and supports him in Texas, and he says God bless.
So, Sean. So,
yes, go ahead.
Did you think that this ring announcer kind of looked like David Flair?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, I was like, we should probably do a DNA test because that looks like David Flair.
But even bigger deal, this is yet another Kerry interview where he absolutely sucks. This is so bad.
He looks like BoJack Horseman with the way his mouth is thing. He looks like a horse.
He does. He does, but to be consistent, at least he's consistent and being bad in his interviews.
He is so bad. I am great, Sean.
Yep. So yes, God bless. Just don't forget the God bless. I'm great. God bless. Wrestling is great. So we get to Flair with a really weird appearance for Flair. He comes out with a rare bandana robe matching set, which I don't ever recall Ric Flair wearing bandanas, so that was a little weird. And then Flair does the dancing pecs, which was pretty sad because he doesn't have really big pecs, but at one point they pause on him and you see his pecs dance. I don't know if he's trying to be like future Lex Luger or whatever, but it was really sad. There's headlocks. There's a test of strength. There's a feeling out process until Kerry starts working Flair's arm. There's a Savage Kerry accidental headbutt to the ref on a Flair kickout, which I thought killed the ref. Von Erich gets a leg scissors. Flair bridges out of it, but Kerry gets another head scissors. Flair tosses Kerry outside. Next, snaps him back inside, which I thought was cool. And then Kerry gets a discus punch, a sleeper. But Flair escapes by dropping Kerry's knee on his knee. And then Kerry's now bleeding. Kerry gets a press slam to Flair. Suplex for three, but Flair gets his foot under the ropes. Kerry beats on Flair some more, and he's up over in top, runs to the other side, jumps into a Kerry claw. Kerry blocks a Flair knee drop on a figure four. Now Flair is bleeding. Flair gets to the ropes, and Flair goes to the top rope and is tossed off with another claw. Flair hit tosses Kerry over the top rope to escape. The ref looks disgusted as he calls for the DQ. There's an official that comes to the ring, and he basically says that tells the ref they need to confer on decision. Nick Roberts is his name. He is the Southern rep, I believe, for World Class, who I've never heard of. He comes out, he shits on Flair for abusing the role, has conferred with Bob Geigel, who, you know, runs the NWA. There must be a rematch immediately. As soon as Texas has a building, which gets a lot of boos from the fans, he gets very flustered by this from the crowd. Says if Flair gets DQ'd, the belt will change hands. Then the ref takes the mic over from this poor man to save it and says it'll be in a week to 14 days. I basically think the ref took this over for him so the crowd didn't rush the stage and beat the shit out of this official. This was really good. I liked the ending, and it sets up another rematch. I went 3.25 stars on this. I really liked this whole match. I really liked, you know, the ending and how it sets up another rematch. So, Scott, I'll go to you first.
I'm the high man tonight. I went 3.5. I love this match. These two have great chemistry. Mm-hmm. Like Flair, we all know, is great at selling, but he makes Kerry look amazing. Like any, like, you know, shortcomings that Kerry may have, you don't see it against Flair. Like he has the claw, like Kerry's even bleeding from his chest when he throws him out of the, you know, one side, throws him on the outside. I just enjoyed this match. You know, he had the 80s. We get the win with Kerry got the win, but his foot was under the rope, so it nullified it. Kerry actually gets the claw in, which, holy shit, watching these matches, I'm shocked at how many wrestlers used the claw in the 80s. I know it was like Fritz's move, but we've seen Baron do it tonight. Kerry and David busted out. Like, a lot of people used the claw. But no, it's it was just a great match. And yes, I thought they were gonna have a riot in Texas that night, Sean.
Yeah, I agree. Dr. G, what did you think about this match?
I went 3.5 stars. I went with Scott. I like this one better than the cage match, only for the reason is there was that slow part to that cage match. I felt this match had a good flow to it, and I agree with you, Scott. They do have good chemistry, and that's why I just don't understand the whole David Von Erich thing, because if Kerry, it just seemed like Kerry had issues out of the ring, I think Kerry could have been a NWA world champion, you know, multiple times and maybe even for a little bit longer reigns. But because he and Flair just worked very well together. And I think Flair covered a lot of that. But you have to give credit to Kerry somewhat as well. He's very athletic and he can move. And I thought, too, after the match, there was going to be a riot because I heard they could get like that in Texas. So that official getting on saying there'll be a championship and whatever it was within the next 14 days was very smart, because I think I think Flair would have been might not have made it out of, made it home that evening, because those fans were hot. I mean, they love their Von Erichs there. It's like, it's amazing.
They're like the Beatles.
They are, man. They are definitely like the wrestling Beatles in Texas. It was, and I love the heat at the end on the officials. Like they that ref knew right away, oh, this official's gonna get his ass handed to him on Christmas night. It's really funny. Really, really funny. So yeah, good match. So two really good matches from Kerry. We had a good match from the Midnight Express. And we've had a couple of duds. So we are going to our final match of this special Christmas episode. And I'm really disappointed for this one that I think this is the real reason why Colin McDougal did not come on his show tonight. And he can say whatever he wants, what he's doing, whatever. But I specially gift drafted this match just for his viewing. Ugh. And don't give it away. This could be a 4-star match. So we are going to 19. We are fast forwarding to 1987, another ADMBA Christmas show. And I want you to remember what I just said, 1987. The match is Wahoo McDaniel versus Adrian Adonis, who is managed by Paulie Dangerously. Now, what's interesting for me here is Wahoo clearly, I mean, we're in 86 and we're about to get a whole lot of Wahoo in 86. But we felt he's been past his prime and what we've already watched with him. But Adrian Adonis, I mean, WrestleMania was in March of this year, and here he is, and he's at AWA. So he's coming off a pretty hot run with that feud for Piper. So he did that feud with Piper, and then he was gone pretty quick after that. But here he is in AWA 1987, and managed by Paulie Dangerously. So we'll start. Both men are both in less than stellar shape. It is a 45-minute time limit, which made me go, holy shit. Could you imagine this going 45-minute time limit? Adonis with a long arm bar, which was he does an awful full Nelson. That Wahoo literally bumps his ass into Adrian to get out of. Wahoo has some bad chops and a headlock. Adonis with some running avalanches. The Wahoo reverses a corner throw to Adonis, and who avalanches the ref. Adonis nails Wahoo with Paulie's phone, does a body slam and a splash. There's a three, but he has his foot on a rope. Wahoo drags Paulie in as the ref argues with Adonis. He grabs the phone, lets Paul go to clock Adonis. Then Wahoo pushes the ref. Wahoo continues to use the phone on Adonis and in the crowd, and Adonis runs away. Wahoo then hits the ref with the phone. Trongard is disgusted at Wahoo, said he could be barred from the AWA. I wrote, we could only wish. Adonis wins the match by DQ. Oh, my God, guys. This match was so bad. Our third dud of the evening for me. Scott, I will go to you first.
It was terrible. Like, so bad. Like you said, it was 45-minute time limit. It felt like it was 45 minutes. It was a long 6 minutes. They literally did nothing. They were fat-shaming Adonis the whole time. Then we had some ref bump, which I can't even remember what it was. And then Paul Lee, like, hands the phone. And it was bad. Like, this is worse than anything we've seen so far, Sean. Like, that's how bad it was. This is easily the worst match. One of the worst matches of all time. It's up there with that Legends of Wrestling debacle. So I'm going dud as well. But if I could, it'd be like negative 5,000 stars.
Yeah, but you know the main reason why I wanted this column on the show is because this would probably been the peak. Like, we've watched some bad Wahoo matches, but column, like, just to hear Colin's frustration and annoyance of this match, that would have been the best Christmas present of all time for me tonight. And unfortunately, I'm not going to get it. Dr. G, what did you think of this match?
As Colin would say, an abomination.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Absolute dud. You're right, Scott, probably one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. And I didn't realize he was called Adorable Adrian in AWA. But this is not – he passed not too – right? He got in the accident not too long after this match, correct? If I'm not mistaken?
Say that one more time.
He passed – you know, got in the accident not too long after this
match. Adonis? Right? Yeah, yeah. I think he died in 88, right? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, but he was just hard. I didn't realize he was Adorable Adrian. I didn't think he could use that. I guess WWE didn't bother to copyright it, I guess, at the time. And I didn't realize he went that fast after he went to the after he left the WWF at the time. But I mean, Wahoo had nothing. He had no, it was like they were just coming for the paycheck that night, and let's just get it over with, kind of thing.
Paycheck and candy canes.
Okay, paycheck and candy canes. That's right. So yeah, so guys, that'll end a rather quick Christmas episode. But again, I really wanted to go back and watch some of these matches. And again, I think for me, the stands out is the carry match, the carry matches with Flair. The Midnight Express is really good if you want to get some good Midnight Express tag work and see them be a really great tag team, like we know that they are, but in the early days. But yeah, I think the rest of this show that we could probably stick a fork in and never watch again, the David Von Erich versus Ric Flair match. is terrible. The Graham versus Martel match is terrible. Baron von Raschke versus Steven Regal, terrible. And this last match was terrible. So the other thing I would say is, if I were a fan paying good money to go to a Christmas night show, I'd probably be pretty pissed off at four of these matches. Wouldn't you guys say?
Yes, it was so bad. Like, can you imagine, like, you get these presents for Christmas, and they're like, oh, I'm so excited to go. And, like, then you see Wahoo versus Adonis. I would be like, this is the worst present you've ever given me.
Well, Colin probably would have said the same thing to me tonight, but he didn't give me that pleasure. But anyway, so that ends our Christmas episode, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight on this one. And with that, before we go, we are going to do some plugs. So, Doc, and by the way, our next episode, we will return to February. We did Battle of the Belts. We did Superstar on the Superstation. So we're going to pick up from February, I believe, 15th, and we're going to close out the month of February on our next episode, which will drop on New Year's Eve. So we will officially kick back up in January with the month of March. So I think it's well-timed to end the year on a good note with this episode and with February. So, Dr. G, what would you like to plug?
Well, you can listen to me every week with the Podfather, Scott Criscolo, every Saturday morning, drops at 9 a.m., the NWA Saturday Special, where we talk everything about the new NWA, the best NWA, new NWA podcast out there right now. We cover it all, and things are starting to heat up, and let's look towards the next pay-per-view, which, you know, we're thinking maybe it'll be sometime maybe in January or February, and I could be, you could hit me up on at Dr. GPTV on Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you. And thanks for all your support, you know, listening to us every week. We're, I think we're closing in on 100 episodes now.
Yeah, you are. And just a plug, go back and listen to the Twitch feed that is available on our PTBN stuff. Dr. G makes a very late appearance after a whiskey tour, which is something that needs to be, heard to believe, and I'll leave it at that, Dr. G. It's a very very fun appearance.
At that, it was.
and we get introduced to very very fun Twitch feed that night. So, all right, Scott, what about you?
Yeah, it can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet. But just make sure you're subscribed to all four podcasts. You know, PTB and Wrestling feed, the Pop feed, the Jenny position, and the No So. Everyone's just doing great work. Yeah, and thanks for listening.
All right, and you can find me on NWA Crock and Roll on Twitter, and you can find me on numerous podcasts on numerous. You can find me on Pop Goes to the Couch and Battlestar of the 25th Century with Scott on the Pop feed. You can find me on the Pedestal Pod on occasion over here on the wrestling feed. We got YouTube Roulette. We got Chicken Salad, so Highway to the Impact Zone will be coming back. So a lot of different wrestling shows, not just with me and Scott, but a whole bunch of other talents. So please give them a listen, especially over Christmas break. If you got some downtime and you're ready for the family to leave and you want to get drunk, just put on some Place to Be Wrestling podcast that will keep you all company. So with that, we wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. We thank you all for the support this year. Our next episode will drop on New Year's Eve, where we will talk about the rest of February 1986. Happy holidays, everybody.
Hey, y'all, Sam Houston. Silver bells.
Silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city.
Hear them ring.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile.
And on every street corner you hear
silver bells.
Silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling.
Hear them ring.
Soon
it will be Christmas Day. And the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Have the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene.
Christmas! Bah, humbug!
And above all this bustle you hear.
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Todo el mundo, I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom.
Thanks, y'all.
Merry Christmas, guys. Buon Natale.
Splendid!
Everyone.